Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:45 British Summer Time. Today is October 6th. Following y yesterday's really very impressive advance right across stock markets, it followed through into Asia this morning. The Japanese market was up less than 2%, but not much less than that. The Hang Seng was up over 1%. The mainland Chinese indices remain closed for the week. It's the October Equinox Festival. And the Australian market was also stronger by 1.75%. The New Zealand market was also a bit firmer, and the Asian markets continue to push on to new recovery and new all-time highs. Latin American indices are also well in there in terms of their absolute performance, and an increasing number of those markets are breaking upwards to new 3-month, 6-month, 12-month, and all-time highs. So, it's a sweet spot for stock markets, in a word. Looking at Europe, it was pretty universally firm in here today, so they held and improved upon the impressive gains put in yesterday. And on Wall Street, the Dow Jones has just moved into positive territory. The S&P is down less than 2 points. The Nasdaq is paring its loss as we approach approach the close. There is a high degree of commonality across the commodity sector, because we see that the Canadian market, Brazilian market, a lot of those smaller Latin American markets, South Africa, Australia, they're all firming up in here. And that's at least in part due to the fact that you have the weaker dollar, and the dollar was weaker again in here today. More on that in a moment, but also because you have industrial metals doing extremely well. The tin price hit another new high today. It closed off the high, but still in positive territory, and that really is the leader in the sector. But copper is up to $3.75 and looks set to go up and test that $4 area. In the precious metal sector, it was another good day, with gold up $7.85. It had a look at the $1,350 area earlier on today, and closed just $1.50 away from that. Palladium was up a $11.30, so it's pushing above the April high in here. The platinum market was stronger by $16, so pushing through the $1,700 level, and silver was stronger by 44 cents, and that's following on from an 80 cent plus advance yesterday. So that's above $23 now, and it has been a very long time since silver was at that kind of level. So this is as I said, a sweet spot for risk type assets. In the soft commodities sector, all of the grains, wheat, corn, soybeans, and oats were a little bit softer. Rough rice was quite a bit firmer in here today and pushed on to a new little recovery high, or a 3 or 4 month high. Oil went up and had a look at $84 and finished out the day in the region of 83.25. But still up on the day. So we continue to see that these industrial commodities and precious metals are really leading the field. The US dollar has weakened considerably over the last 4 weeks. Just before I started recording, I was looking at the euro chart, and the euro was trading at $1.18 back in June, and it's currently knocking on the door at $1.40. So that's 20 cents in 4 months, or 5 cents a month, and that's a big move. Back in June, we had people talking about the breakup of the Eurozone, and there was massive worries about the sovereign crisis, and we've had this remarkable rally since then. That really does knock on the head, fears of an imminent breakup of the Eurozone. But looked at another way, 20 cents against the dollar in such a short period of time is going to put pressure on the European exporters, and they're not going to be too thrilled about the speed with which the dollar is declining in here. And with this risk on, risk off type of environment that we've had over the last year and counting, with the commodity sector and stock markets on the one side and the dollar and bonds on the other, there has been a slight change to that recently. We continue to see that the dollar is weakening as everything else, as those risk assets are strengthening up. But in the bond markets, there is now the added variable of government intervention. Tomorrow's going to be a big day for the pound and for gilts, and gilts have certainly rallied over the last couple of weeks in anticipation of a fresh round of quantitative easing by the Bank of England. The pound has been under pressure, particularly against the euro, in that light. And the key day reversal that the euro had against the pound a couple of days ago has been countermanded with the euro moving on to another new high against the pound in here today. It looks like extraordinarily bad value to be buying into these government bonds with a view to actually holding them to maturity. But momentum is certainly on their side, and US Treasuries were stronger by over a full point in here today. They're pushing back up and have a look at the 135 area, and the high is in the region of 137. This has been a phenomenal bounce back from what had been a much larger reaction. Now, it certainly isn't game, set, and match for these things, and one has to really ask the question what kind of value these are really presenting, and whether the US will actually have to go in and start buying them once more. The Fed has certainly indicated that they have more arrows in their quiver and that they might decide to spread out their purchases rather than going in and artificially supporting the market. With the rally that we've had in sovereign bonds, that is, I think, now more to do with a momentum trade with a view to following central banks rather than this panicky anticipation that we were going to go and move into a massive deflationary cycle. I think that argument has certainly been shown to have been the emperor with no clothes. And the rationalizations that had been put forward back in August are being swept under the table in no uncertain terms in here. This is quite seriously a momentum trade, and it's a bet that investors can ride the coattails of central banks by buying these bonds. That is a short-term strategy at best, I suspect. And with the growth of the Asian population centers and commodity producing Latin America fueling global demand for commodities, and with precious metals moving on to, in the case of gold, all-time highs, and in the case of silver, to levels not seen since the Hunt brothers tried to corner the market, it's a real indication that investors are voting with their feet. And this competitive devaluation that's occurring right across the currency markets, and it's not just euro dollar, but there isn't any country is particularly thrilled about getting a strong currency, and the Brazilians are getting increasingly vocal about the strength of the real, and it really did firm really quite a lot yesterday. It was a tiny bit easier in earlier trading today, but we're seeing that the weakness of the dollar and indeed other G7 currencies is having negative effects, both in terms of the competition, the competitive forces of globalization, in that nobody wants a strong currency, but that investors are beginning to lose confidence in the efficacy of fiat currencies, and they're voting with their feet and buying gold and buying things that offer leverage to the gold price, so they're buying silver, platinum, palladium, and gold shares, all of which are in really quite impressive advances and in fine fettle. So That's a major problem for some of these central banks because they are debauching their currencies and they're losing the confidence of the investors that they need to have on board to buy up their various bits of paper that they're issuing. Supply of these things is ballooning at these levels, and with even countries with a really patchy record of default issuing 100-year bonds, this is a rather dangerous time to be a buyer with any kind of medium to longer term view in these bits of government paper. The gold price remains r within this remarkably consistent advance. I was looking at some old comments of the day today, and back in April, when gold was pushing higher, I think David wrote that he thought that a reasonable expectation was about $1,350, and of course it pulled back and it went sideways for a while. Well, we've hit the 1,350, and there's no sign yet that gold is about to stop here. Certainly, I think that targets are not a helpful way of looking at markets, particularly when they're pushing onto new high ground. We'll know what this looks like when it stops. We're likely to have a high degree of commonality. We've talked a lot in the last few years about the rhythm of the gold market, and we haven't talked too much about what has happened when gold has hit its medium-term peaks. So it might be an idea to start to revisit what will gold look like when it has its next medium-term top, and will we expect to see it moving into another one of these 18-month consolidations? Two answers to that. One is that when gold has topped out in the past, following these big breakouts from well-defined trading ranges, there has been a very high degree of commonality. Silver has outperformed in outstanding terms on all occasions in the past, and that certainly looks to be the case again in here today. Silver is breaking upwards and playing catch up in no uncertain terms. When they eventually top out, silver is likely to have the much bigger pullback. And it has, if you go back and look at the historical charts, silver has confirmed gold's medium-term peaks on almost every occasion. And when it hasn't been silver, it's been platinum. Platinum is lagging in this cycle, so I think it's more likely to be silver once more. Now, next question is it going to move into another one of these 18-month consolidations? And I think that the odds are probably stacked against that happening. The reason for that is we've had these 18-month consolidations with breakouts in 2003, 5, 7, and 9, and this one is a breakout in 2010. So we're seeing that every second year has moved into consecutive years of breakouts. That's a steepening in the pace of the advance. And when we do see gold hit its next medium-term peak, it will probably pull back sharply. But it's unlikely, I think, to consolidate for such a long period of time again, unless it's actually topping out following this 10-year advance. And I think we're probably still a little bit early in the cycle for that to occur. With that in mind, we can probably expect gold to consolidate for less than the 18-month period, and we could easily see another breakout in September of next year. That's a pretty long-term forecast, but we'll see what happens. In the meantime, this remains a very impressive advance, and with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.